for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Tonight on the show, this is why you don't buy kids exotic pets. It's 1984's Christmas classic, Gremlins.
Yay!
Hillary is joining us from her cozy, cozy corner out in South Carolina.
No longer cozy, but how are my ghouls, gays, and nays?
Ah, why are you not cozy? What's going on?
It's cold.
It's just too cold. Okay, got it.
Now, in my brain, the majority of our listeners live in Florida. I don't know why I believe that, but I do. So, yeah, for me, like, waking up and it's 22 degrees,
ooh,
that, yeah, like, that's cold.
Oh, no, that is cold.
And in our house, even if I have the heat on, I feel like our bedroom doesn't get any. Like, I have a space heater.
Yeah, I feel like, because I have slept in that bedroom,
yes,
I will
have.
Say, yes, I have.
With you.
In the giant, incredibly expensive bed that I will never be able to afford on my own.
Untrue. You could afford this bed.
I don't know, man. That's like, is that, what, is it $5,000?
This was a $5,000 bed. But, ooh, like, we financed it.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't come out of pocket with $5,000.
All right.
We put, like, a down payment on it. But my dad taught me growing up that two things that you spend money on are your shoes and your bed. Because you're either standing or sleeping. And that's when you want to take care of yourself. Now, naturally, I sit at my job all the time. And, like, he was on his feet. He was a teacher. So, those are the two things you spend your money on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that yeah you don't need name brand anything. You don't need name brand cereal, you don't need name brand clothes, you don't, your bed and your shoes.
Nice. All right, wisdom.
There, yeah, there's a little bit of wisdom for our audience from Hillary's dad.
Wisdom from Papa Hughes. Okay. All right, so we have shout outs before we even start. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay,
busy episode. Busy.
Busy episode, a lot going on, guys, so just bear with us. So we have a, you know, you know you've arrived in the podcast world when someone starts fact checking your episodes. So
I love that.
I was like, at first when I got the text message, when I got the message on Instagram, I was like, what, you know? And of course, you know, immediately I was like, well, oh my god, I can't believe we fucked this up. And then I thought, this is, and
of
it became,
we did. Well, I did, for sure.
And then it became a thing where he would send messages and I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is so helpful. And I love it because then it kind of gives us like a little bit of a, you know, a talking point the next episode. So we're going to call him Fact Checker Frankie, that we're still kicking the tires on that title here. But he let us know that unlike what Hillary thought, the Amityville house is alive and well.
Yeah, don't have me walking around looking stupid.
Yeah, has not been torn down. And Reagan was not completely responsible for the mentally ill losing their padded rooms in the 80s. I guess apparently that started with
it was his administration. I still, you know what? It happens on your watch, homie. Like, okay. Fact checker Frankie and I can like debate that a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
I was gonna say he's probably gonna find some things to fact check about this episode, so it's okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, my job here is the facts and feelings. The one time I try to bring a fact, Amityville House is like gone, and he's like, no, it's very much up and running.
Exactly.
And
you go,
oh, okay. Well, back to thoughts and opinions for me, I go.
100%. We've got a couple of podcasts to shout out, which is kind of amazing. We've got the PM Entertainment podcast. So great with us. Went on one of those listening sprees. I love it when people do this, by the way.
Yeah.
Listen to a bunch of our episodes. Oh, yeah. I love that. And they were like, oh, my God, I really love this. This. And they went and, you know, liked and subscribed. They gave us reviews. I just, yeah, thank you so much. It
Oh.
really made my heart happy. And because we are all about supporting women, Two Chicks and a Horror Flick is a really fun podcast. If you haven't had a chance to check them out, they're really, really good. Big shout out to them.
Ooh, I
Also,
love that name.
I know,
I'm
Two
jealous. Yeah.
I do. Oh God, we love it though. And then
Yeah, that's so good. Two chicks and a horror flick. Now I gotta go binge that.
The Exorcist Within, which is kind of a psychology tinged way of looking at horror, is hosted by our dear friend Jamie. Jamie went and signed up for a $5 a month coffee subscription, which I
Wild.
didn't even think that was a thing.
Wild.
Like, I was like, oh God, I hope she's not expecting extra things because we don't have any extra things.
But does she want a movie? Just shout outs?
Right. I mean,
Yeah.
she's amazing for this
Yeah.
reason.
You want me to send you an edible arrangement?
Yeah, we're on there. So, speaking of buy me a coffee, this was a buy me a coffee from our friend Kendall here in Florida, and she wanted to hear us do Gremlins in the manic style. But what is buy me a coffee, Hillary?
Buy Me a Coffee is a website you can go to, buymeacoffee.com, and search Manic Movie Monday. And in there, you can apparently subscribe to buy us a coffee.
I didn't know that, but
Shout
yeah.
out. Yeah, when we got the notification, we were like, what is this? We are such noobs, and I love it about us. We're so excited by everything. Anyway, buymeacoffee.com, search Manic Movie Monday, and in there, you can buy coffee for us. And if you buy five coffees, you get to choose a movie that you would like us to hear. What is that sense? You would like us to do in our Manic Movie Monday style. Frankie will follow up with his fact checking on said movie, I'm sure of
Absolutely. Oh,
it.
yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
And it's a way to help us keep the podcast going since I'm in South Carolina and Aaron is in Florida. And, we have Zoom and then streaming services. And then sometimes we have to rent a movie. And, we are happy to do it. We love doing this. We absolutely love engaging with you guys. The fact that we have fans blows my mind still. And so, yeah, if you guys just, want to do your part and leave a heart, you can subscribe, you can buy us a coffee, and, get a movie of your choice, and it'll be like your episode.
And special shout out to everyone that goes and leaves comments. This goes for Jose. This goes for Nelson. This goes for
Nelson.
our absolutely beloved Robert Ortiz. Anybody who actually goes on Spotify and leaves us a sweet comment, we read all of those comments. We are, Hillary even responds to some of them.
Yeah, I started going through them and then I figured out how to respond. Again,
That's exciting.
yeah, I was just, because Spotify at first was just like, you gotta accept the terms and conditions. And I was like,
All
okay,
right.
accept. And then it was just like, nah, we're thinking about it. Maybe you can talk to these people. And then
Right.
just one day it was like, access granted. And I was like, sweet. And I just went on a binge. And anybody, anything said, I just started going through, and I think I made it through like half the year before I was like, I should probably get some work done today besides commenting on Spotify.
Yeah, December is such an odd time in business. You know what I mean?
That's
Because it's
terrible.
very slow, it's very terrible. It's, you know, it's yeah, so there's a lot of we have a lot of time to respond to comments and we have a lot of time to watch these movies. So, all right. What is your background with Gremlins? Like I'm assuming this was a kid Hillary this was a kid Hillary watch at one point.
So, I am so glad you asked about this movie. Okay. So, 1984, little baby Hillary, 6'7", six, seven. Yeah, I have teenagers, sorry. You know, I am sure I saw this movie in theaters. I don't really remember that, but I'm sure that we
Okay.
went to the theater. And then as soon as it like came out on VHS, I got a copy and I wore this tape out. And then when it is now becoming Christmas time, and you know, my parents in good Catholic fashion ask me what, you know, I want under the tree from Santa. When I tell you, I brought to dinner a dissertation. Like, if PowerPoint was a thing, it would have been a PowerPoint, but at this point, it's probably like a book report of why I should get a Mogwai for Christmas.
Oh my God, did you have a fucking Mogwai for Christmas?
Well,
I
so
mean, not a real Mogwai,
I didn't understand that. I
Oh.
lived in a bubble
Right,
that,
'cause
like, movies were documentaries.
yeah, okay.
So I had a dissertation about why I was responsible at 7 or 8 to have a Mogwai. And I understood the dangers of said Mogwai. I understood that we also needed to get the Mogwai a car.
Oh,
Yeah. Oh,
right, because
yeah.
of yes, okay.
Yep.
Like a Barbie car.
Yeah, oh yes, yeah, not like, yeah, I wasn't crazy, you know, but yeah, like a motorized vehicle, I understood, and you know, and I remember like this well thought out explanation of why I needed a Mogwai, and then like my parents cracking up,
Oh, that's
and like,
amazing.
yeah, like my heart, my little tiny 8-year-old heart just like broke. I'm pretty sure that's why I became a drug addict, but
Yeah, this is the
yeah.
moment.
This is the moment when I look back at my life, I go, here were the red flags. And then on Christmas morning, yes, I did get a stuffed Mogwai.
There you go.
I did. However, I was like heartbroken Christmas. I could not understand that Mogwai were not real and I could not get one.
Now, I have a question though, because I did not have a Mogwai growing up. Like I didn't have, I was all about the fucking Barbies. Question, did the stuffed Mogwai, did it make noise? Was it like a Teddy Ruxpin situation or no,
No,
it just
yeah,
sat there?
no, yeah, it was, you know, it was the 80s. We didn't figure out how to do really cool stuff with toys for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was just like a, and the head was very, very hard plastic. So it
Oh.
wasn't even like squeezing it made you feel good, you know?
Right, like a Cabbage Patch doll.
Very much built like a cabin. Yeah, probably built in the same factory. Yeah.
Probably.
Fact check me, Frankie.
Shout
I'm going
out
to
to
catch someone.
Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It was just like down the conveyor belt. You know, one went Cabbage Patch, one went Mogwai.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Oh.
yeah, like I was just like, cool, bro. Cool. Santa is dead to me.
I love it. I love
Yeah.
it. Much like Phoebe Cates in this movie. Yes.
Oh yeah, yes.
Oh.
This is
Yep.
when I became Phoebe Cates.
That's amazing. I love this so much. So yeah, my background is this was on HBO all the time. We grew up watching this when we were when Gremlins 2, the new batch came out, my parents took us to the theater to see it. And hot take coming, I love both of those movies. Like, I love and quote both of those movies. I quote other hot take coming for my little 80s brain. I quote Gremlins and Gremlins 2 more than I quote Goonies, which is just, let's just throwing it out there. Yep. No, that's a thing. That's a
Yeah,
thing.
no, I stand firm on it, you know?
Yeah,
Yeah, no,
I
I
love it.
definitely quote Goonies more.
Yeah, but I love, I'm a huge Gremlins fan. So, all right, let's get down to it. We open in Chinatown.
Yes, we do.
We are thinking Chinatown in California. We could be wrong. I have been to Chinatown in LA, so I know that there is a Chinatown out there. There's also a Chinatown in San Francisco. There is also a Chinatown in New York.
Yeah,
So,
I've been to that one and it's I'm gonna say it's not that one.
yeah, okay. So
I think yeah, we're gonna take New York off the list
yeah, so
of Chinatowns.
we meet the lovable, the cuddly, just the best fucking 80s dad in
Like
this
ever.
ever. We meet Rand Peltzer, a master inventor. He really
master.
Tries. Oh, he tries.
He like, I consider Rand Peltzer to be like a tinker with just like, you know, just ideas, and he's trying and, you know, must be doing rather well tinkering because, you know, they bought a house
and were
living, living in upper middle class white suburbia.
Absolutely.
So little tinker dad. The days when like you could have a one single income family
and a house.
And a house.
And a house.
What and buy that? A house from being a tinkerer.
Ugh. Yeah. No,
yeah, because nobody was like, what? That's not, what does he do? That's not even real. Yeah, no, we all just went, yeah, checks so, out.
Totally a thing for 84.
Yeah, you know? Totally a four. Yeah. Yeah, he just like goes on like business trips and like tries to sell his inventions and is just like overall, and I'm so glad watching it through adult eyes. That, like, I wasn't like, oh, my God, the dad's kind of a dick or whatever. No. Just like, absolutely amazing man.
Like, we as a society do not deserve Hoyt Axton as this was just, he was just so great. Now, fun fact, when I was watching this with my dad back in the day, my dad recognized Hoyt Axton because apparently he had a country music career. He was a, like, guitar slinging, like, country music star guy. And for those of you who are super obscure and watch Mystery Science Theater 3000, like myself and Slink do,
I do.
You will recognize Hoyt Axton as the person who sang the theme song to Mitchell, which I've seen Mitchell probably like 30 times, to be honest. And there is a literal theme song in the movie where it's like my Mitchell, and when they flashed his name at the end of the movie, the little robots are like, oh, Hoyt, how could you?
Yeah. I love Mystery Science Theater. I haven't like thought about that show in a while because like I stopped smoking weed.
Yeah,
but
that'll do it.
Yeah, oh my, that was like a Saturday. Let's just get stoned in, you know, teens, 20s, 30s.
And just watch MST3K.
And just watch MST, for hours. Just binge it. Because, there are so many episodes. Oh, I haven't thought about that show. I got to go back and start watching it.
So fantastic. Good news is, yes, if you do want to watch episodes of MST3K, thank God for Tubi.
Shout out Tubi.
So, yes, he's an inventor, and he's trying to peddle his inventions to, you know, little shops, right? So he ends up in this little Asian shop in Chinatown and meets basically a teenager who says, you know, my grandpa's shop is down here, and he would be interested in your inventions.
Yes.
So leads him down a scary staircase. And he tries to peddle this thing called the Bathroom Buddy.
The Bathroom Buddy.
As somebody who travels now for work, I can honestly say I was like, well, you know, that is genius. Because, yes, you do take up so much of your space in your suitcase with different things that you need for the bathroom. But
yeah, no, it honestly is like a brilliant idea, again, as somebody who is, you know, constantly going somewhere, of just one device, and you know, you've got your razor, you've got your toothbrush, you got your nail clippers, like all of, because I don't know anybody else, but I always leave something at the house. Like I start pulling things out and I'm organizing and whatever, and something always gets left, and
always.
I think of myself as a pretty good packer for trips, whether it's a road trip, a plane trip, this and that. And then wherever we get to where we are going, I am always asked for that thing that is sitting on my bathroom counter.
See, that's amazing. Like, I am a terrible packer, and I am one of those people who will pack like 6 shirts and like 1 pair of pants, or 7 different pairs of pants and like 1 shirt, right? So I have to sit and make an actual like list, and I have to know it's like 5 shirts, 5 pants, 5 panties, 5 this, whatever. And of course, 1 bra, because it's all I own. So,
you don't pack like double underwear. I pack underwear like I'm going to plan on shitting myself. Like, that's how I pack underwear. Like, it is, yeah, even Talon has like looked at me and been like, I mean, it's a weekend trip. You have 8 pairs of
You
underwear. And
never
I'm like,
know. You never
listen,
know.
I might just start shitting myself on purpose on this trip. I don't know.
You don't know. Don't
Yeah.
know. We don't know. You know, could be a hot time on Saturday night. You don't
Right.
know why
Yeah.
you need extra underwear, but you do.
Yeah, it is obscene.
So we meet the old man, his grandfather, played by Key Luke. Key Luke is super famous in the film community as being in Kung Fu. As well as, you know, a very pivotal episode of Miami Vice. But he was a very prolific actor and lived to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 90 years old. So, yeah, great way to go, Key. So he's trying. Hoyt Ranch,
He's trying.
Mr. Pelzer, is trying to kind of sell this product, right? And Key Luke is not interested, but we hear this noise coming
With
from
singing.
this little singing coming from, a box, basically. And he says, "Oh, what is that?" And he's like, "Oh, it's a Mogwai." And anyway, for people that are fact checking, Mogwai is actually another name for demon, by the way. So,
Never
yeah.
knew.
Yeah, exactly. So Mogwai is not meant to be something that you own, unless you are an old Chinese man. And
Right. Well, yeah.
you understand, like you
I
have
do. Yeah.
the
No. I mean, it tracks. You
yeah,
know, at
absolutely.
8 years old, I probably should not have been given the responsibility of a Mogwai. Looking back now,
Yeah.
because as watching it, I watched it with like both my kids last night. And the 14-year-old boy was just like, "Would you get me a Mogwai?" And I said,
No.
"Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not."
No.
Yeah, no. And he kind of looked like shocked. And I was like, "I can't get you to like
A
hang up your
puppy.
clothes. I,
Right.
yeah, like, I, you have lost your cell phone currently because you need to clean your room. You lost it on Monday, and
Yeah.
all you need to do to get it back is clean your
Clean your
room.
room.
We are on Friday night, and do you want your cell phone? Yes. Are you willing to just clean up your room to get your cell phone? No, I am not." Blows my mind.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So my sister's puppy just arrived last night. This family brought her this puppy, and it's an 8-week-old golden retriever. And I went to sleep around 9:30 last night, but I woke up to several text messages, which were, "Is the puppy supposed to be crying in the crate?
Yes.
The puppy did this. The puppy did this. I don't know what to do with this." And I was like, "I will be over there today and we will watch some YouTube videos and I will help you." But see, this is the thing, is that a pet of any kind has a set of things that you have to learn about it, and it is trial and error, and you never know when that pet could just wreak havoc on your town.
For sure. Pets are not good Christmas presents, number one. They are not. And, two, I'm a firm believer that like pets are really not for children.
No,
And
they're not.
if you are buying a pet for your child, hopefully you are prepared to take on the responsibility of said pet.
Absolutely. And so it was funny because when we're watching Gremlins, Slink brought up a really good point, which is this is how kids grow up to be Scarface. Because in Scarface, like, he owns a bunch of tigers.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, this is how this happens.
Mike Tyson, that we're looking at you.
Yeah, we're looking at you, buddy. Absolutely. So he keeps telling him, he's like, "Mugway not for sale." So he's like,
Yep.
"All right." So
I'll
the
give you $200.
$100, which
And the
just
teenage boy is like eyes blown out of his head,
right, like,
like he has 10K stacks.
yeah.
Yeah.
So and so the little boy, kind of follows after him and is like, "Okay, I'll give you the Mugwai. Like, here, but you gotta know this." There's three rules for the Mugwai. Number one, keep him away from sunlight; it'll kill him. Don't give him water. Don't get him wet. and never feed him after midnight, right? And
The most important one.
the most important one is never feed him after midnight.
No matter how much he begs, no matter how much he cries, never, ever
Never
feed
feed
him
him
after
after
midnight.
midnight. And then we smash cut to Kingston Falls, USA. Now, if this looks familiar, this is basically the Universal backlot. So this is Back to the Future. This is, this movie. Any film where you see kind of like a any town USA type town, this is
Yes.
what they used. We get little baby Corey Feldman
Oh.
selling Christmas trees. We meet neighbors, Mr. Futterman, played by Dick Miller, because Joe Dante puts Dick Miller in everything. And rightfully so.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point.
Man was a national treasure. Billy, we learn, Billy Peltzer, that be Rand's son, played by Zach Galligan. Zach Galligan, familiar to most people as being in Waxwork and lots of other things. I don't want to say most recently, but one of the horror films he was in recently was Hatchet 3. So he's still at it. I met him at a convention. Absolute gem of a man.
I
Just
hear he is coming back for Gremlins 3, which is going to be released in 2027.
very exciting. Very
Oh,
exciting.
so
Good.
excited.
Good. So he works at the bank with Kate, and of course Kate will be familiar to all men with a pulse, as that is Phoebe Cates,
The Phoebe.
the Phoebe Cates.
Absolute 10.
I love her so much. And, most people who like ask Zach Galligan questions at conventions, a lot of them are wildly inappropriate.
Sure.
And one of the things they were like, yeah, like, did you fuck Phoebe Cates? And he was like, no, she was dating Kevin Kline at the time. And he's like, did I have a crush on Phoebe Cates? Yes. But
Of course, I'm a person. Yeah.
did I date Phoebe Cates? Absolutely not. She was with Kevin Kline at the time. So then we have the dog.
Barney.
Barney played by Mushroom. Mushroom the dog.
A
And
terrible name for a dog.
it's a weird name. It's
Yeah, it's terrible.
an odd name for a dog. So Barney is I love the fact that Barney somehow manages to stay underneath the bank desk for
Yeah,
Billy.
when he walked in like to work with Billy, I was like,
Wow.
hold up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, ah. Like, 'cause service animals like were a thing, but also like were not a thing, you
Yeah.
know? And I was just like, and yeah, no, he's just got this little space under his, desk that, he like ties him up, and Barney just comes to work, and nobody at the bank, like raises an eyebrow or is just like, says anything. They're just like, oh yeah.
Yeah, he so he, yes, it's interesting. And then we meet our favorite money hungry thunder cunt, Mrs. Deagle. Mrs. Deagle played by Polly Holiday. If you don't know who Polly Holiday is, you never watched Alice back in the day. She was the Kiss My Grits.
Oh, kiss my. Oh, okay.
Kiss My Grits. Yes, Kiss My Grits.
I want to
And
fist fight her like
yeah, oh,
today.
she is up there with like the female villain of the decade for the 80s. She was,
She's up
oh,
there with like
the worst.
Umbridge for me from Harry Potter.
The worst. She's the worst.
Just absolutely. I forgot like how
Awful.
vindictively cruel she was. Like, I knew that she was like the villain or whatever, but the things that she said just did not register in little baby Hillary's brain at all. And like watching it now is like horrified of the
Well,
things that she would say.
yeah, because like when you're younger, all you know is she wants to hurt the dog, right? Like
Yeah.
that's pretty much all you know. But then as you're older, not only does she want to hurt the dog, but she is a rich person who wants to take down all of the poor people. She wants them out of
Yeah.
their houses. Okay, so I apparently was not paying attention, but is she the president of the bank? Like, how does she have the kind of power where she's just kicking people out of their houses and stuff?
I think that she owns the bank.
She owns the bank.
I
Okay.
believe, yeah, I believe that that is what
Okay.
Talon and I came up with, that like she, like the government doesn't own the bank. She or her, now late husband owned the bank, whatever that looks like. Like, that is her bank, and she sees it as that is my money in that bank. That's mine.
Yeah, so
She's a MAGA supporter, like, for fucking sure.
she's kind of awful. And then the dog charges her, which I loved.
Yes.
I loved that
Yeah.
the dog charged her, and then then everyone's, gathering and, "Oh my God, Mrs. Deagle, are you okay?" And and she's like, "Oh,
What?
my heart
Bitch,
can't
you ain't
hold
got a
me."
heart.
And then we meet the creepy coworker, Gerald, or Jer, as they call him. That's Judge Reinhold, who was jerking off to Phoebe Cates in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. So full circle.
Yes, full circle.
Full circle. And one of my favorite lines in this movie is when he's hitting on Kate, and he says, "You haven't seen my new apartment." And she's like, "I haven't seen your old apartment."
Yeah, oh, such a good burn.
Like, fuck you. Rand comes home and brings the Mogwai as a gift for Billy. Here's where problems galore. Also, I love the fact that he wrapped an animal.
Yeah, oh yeah, wrapped it up with wrapping paper. And I'm sure didn't do it in the car. So where he wrapped this, nobody knows. But like full, it wasn't just like a
Oh,
piece of paper like over the top. No, like fully taped up.
with a blowhole? No.
Yeah, no.
Like a wrapped up gift, right?
Yep.
So, mom tries to take a picture of it. The flash scares him. So that's when Rand says, "Okay, look, there's some things you need to know about the Mugwai." Now, here's the thing. If I was trying to tell my child, my teenage boy, if you will, these rules, and I knew that these rules were very important, I would emphasize a lot of this. But this is told with like the just lackadaisical, just like, "Oh yeah, and in oh, don't feed it after midnight."
Yeah. I
Like,
do fit like, and I love the fact that the dad is so like nonchalant with it because like it's not like shut up, like just not believing of like, this exotic animal, whatever, like it can't drink water, like, can't get wet, can't drink water, none of it. I'd be like, what animal can't drink fucking water? Like, shut up. Like, I would not believe it. So it was just like the fact that he even told him and, just like, hey, hates bright lights, sunlight's very, very bad,
it'll
can't
kill
have
him.
any water. And yeah, don't feed him after midnight, And Talon actually raised a good question. When can you start feeding him again?
Right, because then Zach Galligan brought up on set, he's like, "Well, it's midnight somewhere."
Yeah, how does it know what time zone that he is in? When
Yes.
can we start feeding him again? Because technically, all time is after midnight. Midnight of when? When the sun goes up from 12 to 12? Like, what are the rules? The rules are very ambiguous.
Interesting, interesting. Very good point. Very good point. So Billy is just totally smitten with
Oh, and
Mugwai.
how could you not be?
And Mugwai's voice was done by none other than Howie Mandel. How Howie Mandel kind of got his start with doing voices. He was a huge stand-up comic in the 80s, we all know this. But back then he did voices. So he did Bobby's World, he did Gremlins, it was basically, if it wasn't Frank Welker, it was Howie Mandel, right? Like, Frank Welker did the
I
voice
assumed
of
Yeardley Smith.
Oh, okay. So Frank Welker did the voice of Stripe. So all the Stripe voices and a lot of
Okay.
Muppet stuff and whatever, that's all Frank Welker. But Howie Mandel is Gizmo's voice, and he had to do this internationally also.
Yeah.
So Billy's just smitten with who they call Gizmo, and playing with him, having a good time with him, and then walks Corey fucking Feldman.
Little baby Feldman before
Little
he.
baby Corey Feldman spills water on Gizmo, and much like Bebe's kids, they don't die, they
You
multiply.
multiply.
Unfortunately, that's what happens. When you get them wet, they turn into popples. They just pop, 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 pop out of them.
Shout out
And
Popples.
shout out to Popples. Wow,
Yeah.
that is an old reference.
Yeah. Shout out to me to actually knowing exactly what you were talking about.
Absolutely. And the newer gizmos, if you will, are dicks. They're not mean yet.
Yeah, no, not yet.
They're just dicks. They're
Yeah,
just dicks.
there is like a part of this where it's, I almost just go like, they're just like a mischievous bunch.
Mischievous, yes,
Yeah, you know,
mischievous.
yeah, but yeah, like they don't want to like play nice, and you know, they are being kept in a box, and
Yeah.
Gizmo has like free rein of the house, so
It's
I
true.
kind of understand. Like, I'd be pissed off if
Yeah.
my sister was just like the good kid and I had to live in a box. That would bum me out.
So Billy grabs one of them, takes it to his science teacher, and says, "Yeah, this is, let me show you what happens when we put the water
Yeah,
on."
when we put water on them, you know, they multiply. And shout out Mr. Hansen, not Chris.
No, not Chris Hansen, but
Nope.
actual Mr. Hansen is the science teacher. And yeah, so he starts multiplying, and he thinks this is the coolest thing he's ever seen, by the
Yeah,
way.
every kid for Christmas is gonna get a Mogwai.
Like, how amazing is this, right? So we cut to Billy walking Kate home, and this is where Kate brings the room down. She's gonna bring the room down even more, guys, but this is the start of us learning that Kate is one dark, dark bitch. She talks about how there are lots of people who don't like Christmas. There are lots of people who this is the suicide rate is the highest during the holidays, and Billy is just in utter disbelief, but still wants to fuck her. So he, delivers her at her door, and he's like, "Okay, so nice talking to you,
While some people are, you know, slicing open presents, others are slicing open their wrists. Missed that when I watched that as a kid, but yeah, that is, yeah, I just like it jarred me how dark she gets.
Woo! And so what's interesting is that the producers, when they saw, the eventual There Is No Santa Claus soliloquy, they were horrified and they wanted it taken out. In fact, so did Spielberg. Spielberg, so Dante directed it, but Spielberg is who did the producing on it. And it's got Spielberg's footprints all over this thing.
All over it.
All over it. But no, Spielberg was like, "This is too dark. We can't do this." And Dante, who I adore, because, Joe Dante's work speaks for itself, but let's go down like The Howling, Piranha, The Burbs. These are all movies that, although they are funny and also have kind of a lightheartedness to them, they are also very dark.
Yeah, the
And
Burbs is dark.
oh, buddy. But that's the fun part about did I just say fun
That,
fart?
yeah, you did. You did just say, and I agree, farts are funny.
Farts are funny,
Yeah,
but
forever.
the fun part, if you will, about about the Burbs and about this movie is that Dante is able to kind of straddle the line between comedy and horror in a great way, and in a way that doesn't make it zany, it doesn't make it stupid and slapsticky.
Easy, yeah.
It's just good. He does both very well.
Yeah.
So,
No
yes.
blood diner.
No, so he, oh God. So he, or as we will now call it, the lost episode. Never.
Well, it's not lost. We just refuse. The descent is
We
lost.
deleted it. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. It's gone. So, this kind of turns into this thing where Billy feeds the fuckers chicken after midnight. Like, he knows they're hungry and he looks at the clock. And it turns out the clock is not right because the gremlins, quote, have chewed through the wiring.
Yeah, he looks over and he goes, "All right, it's 11:30." Goes and just gets a full plate of chicken drumsticks
Which,
from
by
the
the way,
fridge.
is sitting in the fridge without anything covering it. Can we
Yep.
talk about this for a second? I was like,
Yep.
no.
Totally fine. And
Yeah.
then he even offers some to Gizmo of just like, "Giz, you hungry?" And Gizmo's like,
Nope.
"Nope. Like, I know better. I
Right.
can't tell you that like the time is wrong, but I know I'm not allowed to eat right now, that things will go bad."
The other thing is that when Billy drops fake Mogwai off at the doc at at the professor's house, no, at the teacher's house, or teacher's
Lab.
lab.
Ooh.
Yeah, the lab. He doesn't tell him the rules.
Now,
He basically says, "Here you go," you
here you
know.
go. It's totally fine. And then, Mr. Scientist, like lab guy, total slob, and is just like eating all over the lab, and then is like, yeah, I'm going home for the night, and just leaves food
Food just laying
all over the
there,
counter. Yeah,
right?
just laying there.
Half-eaten sandwiches and
Half
oh,
eating sandwiches, cheese balls, and
bro,
Dr. Pepper, like just
bro, bro. Yeah, here.
reckless.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. So all the gizmos who have now eaten after midnight have started molting. They've turned into
Yes.
these creepy, slimy, black and
Bats.
green
Yeah.
eggs.
Yeah. In the, pupil stage, pupil,
No, pupil
puppis.
stage. You were
It
right.
is pupil. Okay, perfect. Yeah.
Nope, totally right. And
Yeah.
so, yeah, so then Rand has left for Christmas. He's gone away to an invention convention.
An invention convention where he has brought the bathroom buddy, and he's gonna bring home the grand prize to his family. And can I just, for a second, shout out how much I love mom?
Oh, she's so fabulous. Let's talk about her for a second. She's great because, okay, here's the thing. She knows that these inventions have like a 30-second shelf life. Like they
Yeah.
always go wrong, but she is so
In
in
love with her
love
husband and proud of him,
with this man that she
she
is like,
continues to use them.
absolutely. She's like, no, I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna try this coffee maker. I thought it was a hot chocolate maker at first, and then I was like, no, I guess that's supposed to be a coffee maker. Coffee, the egg cracker thingy,
Yep. The orange juice squeezer,
orange juice
like,
squeezer, which I love
and
that it's perched precariously over a
on the
group of
oranges.
oranges.
Yeah. Huge oranges, by the way. Huge.
Huge.
And yeah, she just like loves her husband and believes in him, even though, like, it is very reminiscent of Tim Taylor, Tim Tool Man Taylor from Home Improvement, where it's like, I'm gonna make something better, and it always goes awry. Like,
Awry.
this is the start of that. And it's not, she doesn't then just like pull out a different can opener. No, she proudly displays all of these inventions in her kitchen, tries using them, it makes a mess, and then she's never an asshole about it.
Right, she's not angry. Like they
Ugh.
joke when the coffee maker goes awry, he kind of jokes and he's like, "Well, why can't we drink this?" And
Yeah.
they both giggle at each other like,
Yeah.
"Oh, hashtag couple goals."
Like, so
Hardcore.
adorable. Yeah.
So adorable.
Like, mom is absolute perfection. Even watching this through, like, 47-year-old eyes with kids now, mom knocks it out of the park.
Yeah.
Love
Oh,
her.
it's amazing. So when the gremlins turn into essentially gremlins, they've hatched now and now they're very reptile-like,
Yes, reptilian.
and flat out evil, buddy.
Yeah, now they are demons.
Now they're demons. Now they live up to the name Mogwai. They have this fantastic scene between them and the mom in the kitchen. And I love this because the kitchen is her domain, right? She is defending her domain and she is ready to do, she is gonna
Be ready to fight.
tomahawk.
Yeah.
She's gonna tomahawk one of those assholes into the microwave.
Yep.
She's gonna throw one in the blender, whatever.
No hesitation. She, like, all of a sudden, she was just like, something is awry in my house, grabs a knife. What women in the 80s was just like ready to fight right off rip. And at like, what, like, as soon as she saw the gremlins, wasn't running in fear, wasn't like, what is this? What is going on? Just threw down, killed three gremlins in 2 minutes.
Oh
Was
yeah.
just like, bring it, homie, swing ho.
This
That's mom.
movie. I love one of the things I love about this movie is, though this movie is like an hour and 41 minutes, an hour and 40 and some change, it moves at a clip. It is boom, 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 boom. And so, yeah, this is all happening. Meanwhile, the science teacher has decided to feed the fucking gremlin a candy bar. And the gremlin is like, I'm gonna fuck you up with a lethal ass injection. And by lethal ass, I mean he puts it in his ass, but not like
Yeah.
that. But you know what I mean?
Not like that.
No, not like that. Anyway, so kills the science teacher. When I was a kid, this scared the shit out of me. Like when Billy goes to the science lab and finds him just dead with like one injection just sticking out of his ass, I was like, whoa, this is.
Yeah, I totally didn't understand what like happened in that scene growing up. I was just like, oh, you went to sleep.
And I kind of don't understand it now, to be honest with you, because I was like, what was in that injection? Like,
Talon did have a question, like as we were watching it, he was just like, so the gremlins have like been alive for 16 seconds and they understand mechanics, they understand chemistry, they
chemistry,
understand movie theaters, like how where did
toxins.
yeah, like
You know
where
where to find the
like
YMCA?
you know just where did they get all of this knowledge like so quickly? So and I was like, it's 1984. You
Right.
just yep.
It's like,
They
yeah,
just understand the world and they have a psychic connection. Why not?
they have become sentient beings very quickly.
Very, very, very quickly.
So what I
Much
love,
quicker than teenagers.
yeah, exactly. So then they end up, so Billy ends up at the YMCA, which has just been like ransacked, and he sees the main gremlin, Stripe, and Stripe's like, fuck you, I'm jumping in the pool. And
I'm jumping in the pool.
I love this shot. Can I just say, when the gremlin like almost looks like he's holding his nose, goes under the
Yep.
water, I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah. It I'm like he was, yeah, just Stripe went, I'm gonna go to the YMCA because they have a pool. Why he knows that, sure. And you know, just like walks into like the YMCA and you know, yeah, then plugs his nose and dives in just to be like, let's run this town
It's
amok.
amazing. And then one of my favorite kills in this film is when they kill Mrs. Deagle at her house.
Oh,
She's got one of those like riding up and down
the
the
stairs.
stairs. Yeah, the whatever that is. Stair chair?
Yeah.
Stair chair, sure.
Maka.
Barbecue fork. So she rides up and down this thing, and all her cats are named after currency.
Yeah, I it
Ruble.
was weird to see Mrs.
Peso.
Deagle be nice to anything.
Right. She
You as
clearly
somebody
loves
who
the
was like
cats. Yeah.
Yeah, as somebody who is like so proudly advocating to kill Barney the dog with like glee in her heart, which was terrifying.
Oh my God.
You know, just like absolutely was just like, "Oh, Nickel, you know, my little baby Nickel." And I went,
Peso.
"How? Why? So you just hate dogs? You,
Yeah.
like, yeah, j or you just hate that dog, or you just hate poor people's dogs,
Poor
like."
people's dogs. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's it. Yeah. So thank God the gremlins kill her. And then they go after Mr. Futterman, who, let's talk about Mr. Futterman for a second. Mr. Futterman is a very, how shall we put this, of its time, boomer problematic character. Mr. Futterman is convinced that the foreigners are coming in to take his job. And
Yeah, he is very pro ice.
he really wants all the foreigners to be taken away. And he talks about gremlins, because back in the day, pilots believed that if there was a failure of some kind with their plane, that it was referred to as gremlins. It was like gremlins, and they're specifically referred to in reference to mechanics and or electronics. So it's almost like, oh, the TV's on the fritz. Okay, well, oh, gremlins, you know, like
Gremlins,
this
yep.
is a thing, right? So yes, the gremlins decide to board a snowplow. And we all, there were moments, especially as a kid, where I was like, oh God, is Mr. Futterman dead? But Mr. Futterman, i.e. the amazing Dick Miller, comes back in part two, in one of my favorite scenes. So yes, he's okay, guys. He's okay. Mrs. Deagle, dead.
Dead, and rightfully so. We all
Right.
cheered. Yeah.
Right.
I was like pro gremlin at this point, where I was
Yeah.
just like, they're just a mischievous bunch of like rowdy
Yeah,
children.
they're fun. They're fun. Now comes my favorite scene in this whole movie. My favorite segment of Gremlins is this also the segment that like I could watch this once a day if it was possible. And it's the bar. I love Dory's bar. This is one of my favorite scenes because you have this army, and I mean army, of gremlins, and they are doing all of the things. They are drinking, they are smoking, they are dancing to Flashdance music. They are, I mean, and there is such a variety of gremlins at this point.
Yeah. It reminds me of a biker gang. That's what I think of.
I love
It is
that.
a biker gang came to town and is like what you would imagine if Hell's Angels showed up and invaded your fucking town.
I love it.
Now they're, only 2 feet tall and whatever, but
Yeah.
just like absolutely menacing, doing what they want, when they want, and like, fuck you, get out of my way. And they're just here to have a good time,
They
whatever that looks like.
are hanging off the fan. They are smoking, they are drinking, they are playing poker.
Yeah, for sure.
I love that. I love it so much.
Gremlins playing poker.
But one of my favorite scenes is they cut to they cut to this gremlin sitting at a table by himself. And it's basically like a blues gremlin. Like they are playing blues music. And then this one gremlin pops up and is trying to be cute, like has a hand puppet on it
Has a hand puppet girl.
and is making noises. And the gremlin just whips around and shoots it in the face.
Yeah, just absolutely. Like, he's just like terrorizing his like sad friend because he can't get no gremlin pussy. Just like, man, you're a fucking loser. And then, yeah, no, they get shot in the face of
Gets
just
shot in the
like,
face, yeah. Then there's a ski mask gremlin,
Yes,
which is
who gets a gun?
another favorite. Another favorite is the ski mask gremlin who has who looks like he's gonna rob something and just like is just pointing this gun any way he can put
Wildly.
it
And Phoebe Cates is just like trapped behind the bar because she works there
and
and she
she
can't, yeah, she's trying to
handles
serve them.
she handles this so well. She is like, okay, I'm pouring drinks, I'm lighting
I'm lighting
cigarettes,
cigarettes. Like,
I'm watching the weird Flashdance dancing going on in the background. She's like, I am clearly going to adapt to said situation.
And initially I was just like leave, but like you can't
You
get
can't.
through.
Oh no,
You
they're on the fan.
No, like she can't get through. So it's just like, all right, like it's not a night where I'm gonna make any tips, but another shot, another round, light your cigarette, you need, quarters for the pool machine. Like, I got you. I got you.
It's great. It's fantastic. So eventually, Billy manages to rescue her. They go and they hide out in the bank, which is, in utter disarray. And now it's sad story time.
Bring it,
Okay.
Phoebe. Bring the room down.
Okay. So do you want to tell the story?
I will,
Okay,
gladly.
great. Yeah, absolutely. If you remember the story, go ahead and tell the story.
Oh yeah. So, Phoebe Cates is, talking about why like she hates Christmas and just like this is, apropos, for this time of year. Now maybe more people will hate Christmas. Yay. And, Billy's like, what, like, why are you like such a bummer? And she goes, I remember it, very, very well. It was Christmas Eve and I was like putting up the tree with my mom and we're baking cookies and we're doing all the things and we're waiting for my dad to come home and he never comes home. Christmas comes and goes. No dad. It is days of dad not coming home. Nobody understands where dad is. Nobody understands what happened to dad. We were just sitting there with a tree full of presents waiting for dad to come home. Terrifying for a young child. And then one day, she goes over to the chimney and notices the smell. So they call for help, and the EMTs, fire department, police, whoever shows up to clean a chimney, and they're expecting it to be a dead cat. And in there is my father dressed as a Santa. He wanted to come down the chimney and surprise me for Christmas, but he fell down and snapped his neck and died in the chimney. And that's when I realized Santa Claus isn't real.
Nice.
Fuck Christmas.
That's right. Fuck Christmas. Take a bow. So then obviously Billy understands exactly where this comes from.
Yeah, no, that is a much sadder story than like why I didn't get a Mogwai at 8.
I don't know. They're both, you know.
I mean, we're running neck and neck,
neck and neck, absolutely.
You know.
So the Gremlins decide to take over the local movie theater, which I love. This is also a great scene.
Good.
They decide that they're going to watch Snow White.
Snow White. And having a blast.
Oh
eating
my
popcorn,
God. Popcorn,
Milk Duds. Again, it is a biker gang that has taken over your town. They have filled the seats and they're just, you know, rowdy and cheering, but enthralled with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Think it's, you know, master cinema.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it. And then at some point, the gremlins end up at, okay. Are they in a mall or are they in a specific toy store?
Well, okay. Initially, Billy goes like, all right, they're all here and opens up the gas line.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then lights it on fire to blow up the, you know, movie theater full of gremlins to get rid of all of them.
Mm.
So that is what he does. And then they blow it up, you know, chaos ensues. But Stripe, the leader, had left to go across the street to a department store. So like a, you know, kind of a Kmart-esque before there was Kmart.
Uh-huh.
He went across the street to get candy. And he's standing in the, you know, little door, whatever, like the window. And Billy and Phoebe Cates, I don't remember her name. She's just Phoebe Cates.
Kate.
Kate, yes. They look over and they go, we missed one. He is in the department store and it's just one, but it's the leader of them. So they go and decide to break into the department store to get Stripe. And then he breaks out the window with a toy and no, you didn't, but okay. You know, and then they go in and Kate has Gizmo and they're, you know, running around this like department store of, yeah. We'll call it a Kmart slash Woolworths for
there's
all
lot,
the many departments.
Yeah,
that we
there's
have.
A lot of like, there's a lot of like toys and there's a lot of sporting goods.
Sporting goods, hunting equipment, lawn care.
And a fountain.
Clothes. Yeah, and a fountain because it's the 80s and we do everything in excess. So Billy tells Kate, like, go try to find like a switch, turn on the lights is what I want you to do. Because they, you know, bright lights, bad. So Kate goes to like the main control center and she's just turning things on and she turns on the fountain. Kate, but she, again, she doesn't know what she's doing. She's just like pressing buttons. And then she looks down and realizes Gizmo is gone. Now, Billy and Stripe are like going at it. You know, he's throwing stuff at him and, you know, initially it's like tennis balls and, you know, like things and, you know, then he gets a crossbow and shoots Billy in the arm with a crossbow. And as he's reloading it, Billy grabs like the boombox of the 80s from the Run DMC video.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the size that we needed.
That was
and
a
is
thing.
Like deflecting arrows with his boombox of terror. And then Stripe goes and we just hear the chainsaw rev. And I was just like, oh my God, like, I really forgot how terrifying this is. Because as somebody who goes to the haunted house and is terrified of the chainsaw noise every time, it like, I run cold when I hear it. And like, they are fighting chainsaw to aluminum bat. And they are, you know, it does not look good for Billy. Absolutely not. And then Gizmo.
Yeah.
Pulls in his little sports car and he is cruising. And like, I cheer. This is like the end of Karate Kid for me. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
When they're at like the tournament, I am cheering so hard for Gizmo. And he runs and he like chases Stripe and like goes up a shovel and like hits him and chaos. And then Stripe notices the water fountain.
Mm-hmm. Time to get wet, buddy.
Yep. We gonna do it all over again. And as Stripe is going to like jump into the water, Phoebe Cates turns on the lights, and then Gizmo opens up all of the shades. And I guess it's not like daylight, sure, because sunlight kills you.
Yep. And
And
then this decomposition, nope, that's not it. Decomposing.
decomposing.
Thank you. Decomposing scene is amazing. It is brutal. It is slimy. It
Slimy
is
and gross. It is body horror.
there's a reptile skeleton underneath everything that just collapses. It's really gross.
Yeah,
For
Cronenberg would be proud with this.
80s PG, guys. 80s PG.
Texas
So
Chainsaw Massacre. What are we doing?
everything's over, right? So we're gonna, it's good. We're gonna go home. We're gonna sit by the fire, drink some cocoa, nurse Gizmo's wounds, and then there's a knock at the door. The old Chinese man has come back because he has realized that his grandson,
Sold the
clearly.
Mogwai, yeah.
Sold the Mogwai, and he comes back. He's like, the Mogwai, he had said it specifically, with Mogwai comes great responsibility.
Yep, just like being Spider-Man.
And you fucked up.
Yeah, and you fucked up, and now look at your town.
Now look at your town. And this is
And I'm keeping your $200.
this is a testament to how, something that is introduced to society in whatever way, even if it's a smaller version of society, always gets fucked up by people. Human nature is what cre is what makes things bad, right?
Bad.
So like you got like AI, which AI, we've talked about this, like AI, great for resumes, right? But now now it's like, no, we're taking your jobs, motherfuckers,
Yeah.
like
My
so.
mother-in-law sends me like AI videos all the time of just like these like get rich quick schemes. And I'm just like, please don't click anything. I just stop, just, oh God, please. Yeah, she
Uh-oh.
sent me a video of The Rock. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, pretty much saying, take your social security number, put it in this website, and you can draw out a loan on your social security number. And I'm like, please tell me you didn't do that.
Oh my gosh.
Please, please, just, I need you to just understand that everything in the world is a scam. Unless me or Talon like sign you up and like take you and do all of the legwork, everything is a scam. Everything's AI. Everything is fake news. Just everything that I need you to live in that world.
Yeah,
You are
absolutely.
scary right now.
Oh God. Oh, that's the worst. Yeah. So.
And to just point out before Frankie Fact Checker gets me, Talon just opened his eyes, as I said, and I'm keeping your $200. Talon warned me. Apparently, the gentleman throws the $200 on the couch.
Oh,
Yeah, I
I didn't
didn't
notice
notice that
that.
either. So, Frankie Fact Checker, actually, if you could look that up, does he keep the $200 or does he throw it on the couch? Because I missed it.
Great point.
But
Yeah.
yeah, just woke up and was just like, you're wrong, asshole.
Wow,
Thanks.
that's amazing. Okay, so yeah, so basically the little old Asian man comes out and he's like, I'm taking the Mogwai back. And
Yes.
although Gizmo had a good time, right? Because, he got to experience television, he got to experience,
3D comic books.
yeah, he got to experience 80s excess at its best.
Yeah, and had like a good house and a good home, and like he knew things were bad.
Right. And he was really, there seemed to be this connection that he had with the old man that
Yeah.
he didn't have with anybody else, because it's evident in the way that they're talking to each other and they're
Yeah.
talking. It's just, you can understand what he's saying. And he's like, one only needs to listen.
Yeah. Yeah,
So.
no, it's and then they put him back. He was just like he came in a box. And they put him back in his little Mogwai box. And then the old man is just walking, I guess, back to Chinatown because it's just this long snowy road. And I was like, he didn't take a cab? Like
No,
this
he just
just see
walked.
yeah, he is just walking for 500 miles.
Yeah,
And
clearly old Asian men are better than we are.
oh, for sure.
For
Yeah,
sure.
no.
For sure. Absolutely. So, Yeah, so he walks away, and then Hoyt Axton does this amazing voiceover where he says, "You never know, there just might be a gremlin in your town." And it's like, and then the great music starts, and we get our credits, and it's fantastic. And if you guys want to watch Gremlins, you can do so on Hulu. You can do so on, I'm not sure about
HBO
HBO. Is
Max.
it HBO
Yeah, that's
Max? Is
where we
that where?
watched it. Yep.
Okay. So, yes, it is available.
Easy.
If you want a good, like, just laugh, I would suggest Gremlins 2, to be honest with you. It is available. I would watch it just because it's just funny and stupid and silly. And I love
Make
it.
it a Gremlins Day. Do
Dude,
both. Yeah.
I love the brain gremlin. Like, I'm just gonna throw it out there. Like, it's fun. It's a fun movie. Okay, so next episode, we are doing The Shining.
Yes, we are.
We are going hard on The Shining. We're gonna talk about our experiences with it. We're gonna talk about the where The Shining comes from. You know, it's gonna be a wild way to cap off
The end
this
of the year.
lovely end of the year, buddy. So if you would like to follow us on social media, we only have one page now, and that is on Instagram at Manic Movie Monday Podcast. Thank you so much for all of your contributions this year, our fans. We love you guys dearly.
Yeah,
Keep
blows
this.
me away that you guys are here, but super, super grateful for all of you.
And keep it here till next week. And as always, stay
Stay mad.